Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton. I'm Travis. With me, as always, is Kyle. And Kyle, we weren't sure last week. We talked about maybe this week we're going to wrap up the quarterbacks in this draft because we didn't know how much the Bears were going to do, right? We kind of downplayed what the Bears would do the first couple days of free agency. We thought they'd probably wait out the market, get those bargain guys at the end to fill in some gaps. Don't get too upset if they don't get a big piece. And then they went out and they did all kinds of stuff. They didn't do some things that we thought they were going to do, but they brought in a bunch of dudes we didn't expect. So I think this week we're just...
That's what you really want, right? I love when you bring in a bunch of dudes you didn't expect, you know?
Fill a room with all the dudes I didn't expect.
All the dudes you didn't expect. Yeah, no, so for a little while there... Free agency was looking, and I think I was the one that was just on here last week saying I expected maybe one big edge signing and then a lot of small moves, and so I wasn't upset about that because this was not the same roster as last year. They could be a lot more methodical. They were just patching some holes, but for a little while there, like, it was even less than I was expecting, and I was getting a little concerned because to me there are the two biggest holes on this roster were. Currently, before entering free agency, the wide receiver 2 on your roster was Tyler Scott. So to me, that's an issue one would like to address, presumably in a year where you're going to have a rookie quarterback. And again, for those of you still in my mentions every day on Twitter, insisting that it's going to be Justin next year, the hard rain's going to fall.
We're going to get to a lot of Justin talk.
There will be a rookie quarterback starting for the Bears next year. Now, I will say this. I am only 99.999% sure which rookie quarterback is going to be. I actually do think there is the meagerest of possibilities that is still a little bit of a discussion. Whether that quarterback's going to be Justin Fields, that question's been answered, guys. You gotta let it go.
Do you wanna start there? Is that a good starting point that Justin Fields has not been traded? He's not been traded yet.
Okay, so Justin Fields has not been traded yet. And there are 3 theories out there as to why that have been given by 3 different kinds of people. So let's walk through them one by one. Number one. This is the one espoused by people on Twitter, which is, he's never actually been put up for trade. Ryan Poles going to fool y'all.
I'm so glad
he's going to shock. He's going to shock the world and trade Justin. He's going to trade the pick and keep Justin Fields. This is how winners are built. I don't know why I chose to give you all that accent. Probably because I had a guy in my mentions last night claiming to be Brian Callahan's brother and then uncle brother, if you will. Telling me that it wasn't going to happen and that I was smoking crack with rumors. Which, first of all, ooh. I would put... If I was smoking crack, I think Rumors by Fleetwood Mac would be
I was going to say Rumors is the
that would be... That's a vibe right there. So maybe not that far off. Certainly a lot of cocaine was involved in the making of Rumors.
If I didn't think we'd be suppressed, that'd be the title of this episode, Smoking Crack with Rumors.
So what do you feel about that theory, Travis, that Justin Fields has never actually been up for trade? The Bears are, Ryan Poles is going to shock the world. Why don't you walk me through your reaction to that theory?
this is absolutely hilarious. So for everybody who listens to this and doesn't know, I'm not involved in social media at all. I'm not on Twitter. My only connection to it is when Kyle sends me things that he's caught off of social media. And I'm so glad because, like, the people on there have to be so out of touch with reality to think this is even remotely a possibility. Like, everybody out there has said that the Bears have been shopping Justin Fields.
Okay, so...
But they wanted way too much.
The following people are saying that Justin Fields is being shopped. And this is just a brief list. It's not everybody. But just the following people. Adam Schefter. Ian Rappaport. And we'll talk here in a second about option 2, because some people said Ian Rappaport said Justin Fields has not been shopped. And I don't think that's what he actually said. We'll clarify what he actually said in a minute. Ian Rappaport... Adam Schefter, Albert Breer, even locally in Chicago. I mean, Bill Zimmerman, the guy that basically broke the Khalil Mack trade, very tied in with the Bears organization. So many people. Rich Eisen, I'm pretty sure, has said, like, every Tom Pelissero, every major Benjamin Albright, whom I don't even like, but, you know, he's got some connections there out there in Denver. He's been pretty good on a lot of that stuff. I mean, everyone who's anyone who has an actual verified connection to the game of football knows that Justin Fields is being shopped. It's a very, like, it's out there. The only people who don't believe it are the insane people in my Twitter mentions. And I mean, again, what I want to know is, if Ryan Poles was trying to sell the number one pick, what is in his interests about hiding that information? How is the price raised by hiding that information? Last year, he made it pretty obvious that he was trading the pick. By the time, but the everyone knew at the time the combine was going on. He left the combine with deals in hand. They made the trade before the first day of NFL free agency. Everybody, and the, you and I have talked about this a million times. Maybe one of the most annoying things about Ryan Poles is how incredibly transparent and upfront he is about everything he's doing.
Very honest guy, yeah.
This is not a guy who hides the ball that much. So no one has ever satisfactorily explained to me why being this determined that they're not trading the pick, why playing the greatest smokescreen game in the history of the NFL, why that would benefit the Bears, when what would generally benefit you if you're trying to auction off a draft pick is to get as many bidders as possible.
Yeah.
So yeah, that part, that theory doesn't make any sense. Now, theory number two about why Justin Fields is not up, and this is one that a lot of the guys espousing theory number one have clung to. Ian Rappaport came out the other day, and he said that the Bears are open to trading Justin Fields, but they have not had serious talks with anybody about him yet, and that he does not believe they will move the pick until they have 100% made a decision on Caleb Williams. Now, that's a lot more nuanced. I also think it's a line of bullshit that he was fed specifically by Ryan Poles. Because Ryan Poles, before the combine, made it very clear he wanted to do that right by Justin. He didn't want to leave him in the gray very long. Everyone knew he wanted to try to move Justin before free agency, just like he moved the pick before free agency last year. That obviously hasn't happened. I think we know now, especially with the Eagles recently, it was just revealed that the Eagles were trying to trade for Justin, and they thought that Chicago's price was still too high. So what I think happened is Ryan Poles overestimated what he could ask for Justin Fields. In response, he basically whiffed on a lot of the places that would have been the best landing spots for Justin. They moved on to other options. Now they're running out of options. Justin's kind of stuck in a backup situation wherever he goes, which maybe he always was. I kind of think he always was. I think we have all, we are all, even those of us who have moved on from Justin Fields and want the Bears to draft Caleb are still too close to the situation and are still a little nicer to Justin than the league at large is.
This is, I think that's the big thing that I've learned here, is that even with how tepid we were about Justin, we still thought that there were decent pockets of the NFL that had a lot of faith in Justin, that thought this would be a much better option than bringing in, you know, an older dude towards the end of his career who you have to pay a bunch of money, or, you know, like taking a chance on the fourth best quarterback in the draft or something like that. What we've learned here is that the league at large sees Justin Fields as a backup and not even as like a guy to compete for a starting job, just as a backup. Ryan Poles seems to have gone out there and asked for what we heard he was asking for, which was like a second round pick, maybe a third round pick that could escalate into a second, you know, with certain things happening during the season. And it seems like every single team was just categorically like, no, he's not worth that. Like, it's not even close. We're not going to give you anything close to a second round pick. And I don't think Poles was ready for that. I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, I think I was more pessimistic than you were, even.
Yeah. Yep.
I think I said at the start of this when you were talking, like, maybe we could get the 19th pick from the Steelers if they are really desperate. I think I said, like, I'm expecting a pair of threes and I will be pleasantly surprised.
Right.
If they get more than that. Now
we're down to one surprised. Fourth round
I'd
pick.
I'd be pleasantly surprised if they got 1-3. Yeah. Now, Steelers media last night, there was a lot of Steelers media hinting that they thought that Fields to the Steelers could happen now that small hands, smaller heart Kenny Pickett is scared to compete and had to get traded to the Eagles. that the Steelers actually would be interested in Fields now, and maybe they'll flip pick 98 that they just got from the Eagles for Pickett over to the Bears for Fields, which I'd be very thrilled by that. But yeah, I think this Rappaport line that all these people clinged on to, because again, for them, Rappaport literally ended that report saying, now I still expect the Bears to stay at one, and I still expect them to take Caleb Williams. They ignored that part. They just drove on. See, it's not 100%. It's not 100%. We still.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. So that's that's where they were on that. But like even Rappaport said at the end, he still expects them to stay at one and take Caleb Williams. I think it's a face saving move by Poles to say no. We were never gonna move him until after Caleb's pro day. We were never gonna move him until we were sure, like we had our new guy.
Yeah.
I think it's a face-saving move. I don't think that's real either. Justin, if they had gotten an offer of a second-round pick for Justin Fields by now, he'd be gone. If they had gotten, I think at this point, an offer of a third, like a legitimate third-round pick for him, it's gone. I think what might end up happening is maybe they get pick 98, which is a third-round pick from the Steelers, which is what the Eagles gave them, for Fields, but I think the Bears probably also then have to tie a pick in going back to the Eagles just to get there. But Ryan Poles can then spin it as, hey, I got a third round pick for him. So that's what I think is going to happen. And then, yeah, the third theory of what's actually happening is, well, you know, we don't need to go into it. It's basically just what's actually happening. He's been up for sale the entire time. Ryan Poles really overestimated his value and has whiffed very badly. And now he's scrambling to save face. But I mean, can we talk about the single dumbest theory that I have seen ever? Which is the people celebrating every team that has said, like, oh, no, thank you. We would rather have Gardner Minshew
over Justin Fields. This is the worst part.
As proof that we should keep this man?
Yes. This is by far the most ridiculous.
The Raiders have told you they'd rather have Gardner Minshew. The Eagles have told you, or the Steelers have told you they would rather have what's left of Russell Wilson. Mason Crosby's got a job already. All of these teams are telling you they would rather do this.
Mason Rudolph? Is that who you're going Rudolph. For? Mason Rudolph. Yeah. Does Mason Crosby have a job?
I don't know if Mason Crosby
is he dealing cars right now? He's not the Packers kicker still, right?
I don't think so.
But yeah.
Mason Crosby's still there. So is BJ Raji. Remember, Travis? All of the old Packers are still there.
They never leave.
Yeah, no, Mason Rudolph's got a job. So, I mean, the league's telling you that. And now, to be clear, if Justin Fields were cut by the Bears before free agency, he'd have a job by now, for sure. If he was cut, if he was just a free agent, he'd have a job right now. But when you weigh Gardner Minshew for just cash versus Justin Fields costing you, at the time, a second-round pick, and you have to decide whether you're picking up his fifth-year option, or if you don't, you have 1 year with him, and it's Justin Fields. And as we talked about, he has gremlin rules. You have to adjust your offense significantly to fit what he does best. I mean, Gardner Minshew, he's not going to run it super well, but he's going to come in and he's going to run your basic, boring-ass West Coast offense playbook. Justin Fields can't do that. You have to significantly adjust your play calling to fit him. And most guys, once you are not their first-round pick, once you are not their hope, once you are not the guy whom everyone's jobs are tied to, you don't get that accommodation.
Yeah.
So, again, in a vacuum, if you ask 32 GMs, do you think Justin Fields or Gardner Minshew is better? Most of them are going to say, yeah, in a vacuum, I'd rather have Justin Fields. But do I think Justin Fields is a second-round pick and picking up a fifth-year option worth $25 million better than Gardner Minshew? No, I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons were more ready to give the absolute end of his career, Kirk Cousins, $50 million guaranteed, 4 years, $180 million contract, which is just batshit crazy to me, than they were to trade a second round pick for Justin Fields, or maybe a third. We don't know what was really discussed, but like, just that. But yeah, I mean, like you said, Gardner Minshew, the corpse of Russell Wilson, like, just all of these. I mean, like, the Eagles traded for Kenny Pickett to back up Jalen Hurts rather than give up what it seems like a third round pick for Justin Fields. What do you even have to say? Like, to see people honestly celebrating this and saying, man, isn't that great? Now we get to keep this guy that nobody in the league thinks is a starting quarterback. That's batshit fucking crazy, guys. This should be the nail in the coffin. You should be like, wow, every other NFL team just simply does not think this is a starting quarterback. That's it. Like, just take that as recognition that Justin Fields is not the guy, and he's definitely not the guy compared to a prospect like Caleb Williams. Just move on. Get excited about Caleb Williams, man. Like, it shouldn't be that hard, right? It shouldn't be that hard to get excited about having the number one overall pick and taking a potential generational talent at quarterback. But Bears fans are making it hard.
Yeah, I mean, that's Adam Hoge went off on that a little bit ago. Like, if the number one pick right now resided in Washington, these people would have parades. They would be jumping for joy in the streets. If it resided in New England, same thing. There are 20 NFL cities right now that would be ecstatic about this. And only on Bears Twitter is it a fucking cesspool every day. I can't tweet about how Keenan Allen is a great addition, and we'll get there in a second, is a great addition for a young quarterback in Caleb Williams without people being like, oh, it's not for Caleb Williams, fatty, huh? Like, just, God, you are taking what should be the most exciting offseason of our lives, and you are just turning it to shit.
That's true.
Move on. That's true. Move on with your lives. Anyway.
Well, let's move on. Let's move into that exciting offseason. Because Poles has made it exciting.
He has made some moves, yeah. Do you want to start with, like, the least significant moves, or do we want to just kick it off with the one that I know we're both most excited about?
We could go in chronological order and relive our emotions if you want.
Absolutely. So, the very first move that was announced, and I think we both were kind of like, what? Well, actually, hold on.
How about this?
Did we talk about...
Do you remember the end of our last podcast? What the very last thing I said was? I said,
Saquon
Barkley. Kyle, there sure are a lot of running backs out there, like really loaded running back class. What do you think of that? And kind of as a joke, but also as your true feelings, you said, no. And that was it. That was what we ended on. Just like, don't sign a running back. So what did we do first?
This is really embarrassing. We talked about... our episode last week was, like, entirely about the Jalen Johnson extension, right? Like, we talked about that.
We did.
That was covered. Yep. Okay. And we talked about Ryan Bates already. Right? Didn't we?
Yep, we talked about Jalen. Okay. We talked about Ryan Bates. It has been 7 days, Kyle.
I know. God. Anyways, honest to God, I usually re-listen to our episodes like a couple days later just so I can remember what we actually talked about before the next one so I don't repeat myself. I'm just that bad at it. But no, okay, so yes, you mentioned Saquon Barkley. And they signed DeAndre Swift. And so our imminent reaction was, wow, that seems like a lot of money for running back.
Yeah.
And then we saw every other contract that every other running back has gotten so far this offseason. And I have to say, with each one, that DeAndre Swift contract looks pretty good.
It's looking pretty normal. Pretty normal.
It appears right now, the NFL is sending a very... And this happened last year with... what was the position this happened with last year where it was clear that they were saying, oh, this draft class sucks at this, and we talked about that. I can't remember now what position it was. But yeah, this year it was running backs. The word out of the combine was the running backs kind of all biffed it. No one was very impressed by the running backs or the linebackers. And so two positions that have gotten squeezed a lot in free agency the last couple years got paid pretty well these last couple weeks. We've seen running backs and we have seen linebackers get fat checks. Mm-hmm.
And guards.
Which, first of all, to be clear, now you and I... We always walk the line here because we are both analytics people. We are both sabermetrics people. We understand positional value. And at the same time, we like to see players get paid. I'm happy for the running backs in general that they're getting. I'm happy for Saquon Barkley that dude got the life-changing money he deserves.
Absolutely.
I'm very happy for him. That rules. I think football is better when there are dominant feature backs. I really do. I mean, I like the passing game, But I miss the era of LaDainian Tomlinsons and Thomas Jones and Curtis Martins and all, like we grew up with some backs, man. I miss those guys. I do.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to see some of these guys get checks. And then we saw enough guys get checks that, you know, the Swift contract looks pretty good. And the thing that I like about Swift and the obviously the reason that they signed him this deal is Swift is a very good receiver out of the backfield.
Right.
And if you look at the moves that they have made, this is all about Shane Waldron's offense. And he likes to run a lot of 12 personnel. And he doesn't actually keep, one thing that DeAndre Swift is not very good at, I looked, is pass blocking. But Waldron actually doesn't keep his backs in to pass block very often. He likes to send them out into the pattern. So Swift, we talked about this, we didn't have a good receiving back. Rashawn Johnson has good hands, and he's a good blocker, so he's a good third down back from that front. But he's also not explosive. You know, he's a great check down option, but you're not running too many wheel routes with Roshan the way you can with Swift. So yeah, I was not a fan of it originally. With more time, seeing it in the context of the market, the deal looks better. My one concern was I did think that the Bears have fairly limited cash on hand to give out to new free agents in this free agency market. And for a while there, it was looking like, okay, you had limited funds and you decided to prioritize giving cash to a running back over a wide receiver.
Right.
Over an edge. But then they made the Keenan Allen move, and it's like, okay, never mind. So yeah, I mean, at this point with the, you know, if we'd recorded this thing the day free agency opened and that signing came in, I think you and I had been a little hot. But with to look at the market and what's happened and the other move, in the context of the other moves they've made, I really like this DeAndre Swift contract. I do. And I like the next quarterback, mystery, who could it be? Having the, you know, who might be a rookie, might not, who knows? mystery.
Who could say?
But if they had a rookie quarterback named, let's say, Shmela Williams, and he was throwing to a running back like DeAndre Swift out of the backfield, that's a nice option for a young quarterback to have. And it's what else is a nice option for a young quarterback to have? Couple of tight ends, you know? Couple of sure-handed tight ends that you can run in 12 personnel. And we already have Captain Adequate, Cole Kmet, and now we have the sure-handed move tight end, Captain Gerald Everett. How do we feel about Gerald Everett, Travis?
Well, I wanted to talk about Swift a bit here, man. Swift, oh, he's an interesting dude.
I moved on too swiftly.
This is how look at you. He has had a very strange career, which is sort of inexplicable, I guess. He's had a couple of minor injuries. Maybe that's what's going on. Detroit, after drafting him, really treated him like a timeshare running back. Never had more than 151 carries in a season in Detroit through three seasons. They very much treated him as a switch-up guy, even as the years went on, even as we got into years four. We went into year four, and Detroit, as you might recall, replaced him with David Montgomery and spent a first-round pick on Jahmyr Gibbs, which felt like a real nail in the coffin to Swift. This dude has always averaged more than 4 yards per carry, just as a running back, which isn't even... Running out of the backfield isn't even this guy's strength. His strength is catching the ball. But, I mean... Shoot, in 2022, he's 5.5 yards per attempt running out of the backfield.
To be clear, though, he went from Detroit's offensive line, which is maybe the best in the NFL, to the Eagles' offensive line, which is maybe the best in the NFL.
Right.
They're both. So, I mean, he's had quality run blocking.
Right. He's had quality run blocking, but they upped his attempts in Philadelphia. Philadelphia traded for him, and they were like, "You're our guy. You're our feature back." And all he did was have more attempts than he'd ever had in his career. Kept up his stat lines completely. His catch rate remained very even. I think he had fewer pass opportunities this year because he was being used as a running back more, but he's a good guy. He's fast. He's a home run hitter, which is a guy that we have not had in the Bears' backfield for a while, a guy who we do not have on the roster right now. I'm trying to think of the last time we had a running back you could say that about. I like it. I don't know if I like it for $8 million a year, but then, like you said, the days went on, and more running backs kept getting picked up for, like, wild amounts of money, the amounts of money these running backs thought they were worth. And suddenly it's like, well, yeah, we're just paying a good running back a decent contract. And like you said, he's probably going to spend most of his time catching passes out of the backfield in a Waldron offense. That's something Caleb Williams is going to love. I'm not going to beat around the bush like you. It's going to be Caleb Williams. But yeah, I mean, the Bears didn't stop here.
It's a mystery.
As you said, they also signed Gerald Everett.
They did. Gerald Everett. I mean, you can't really go into too much about Gerald Everett other than that. Gerald Everett goes basically wherever Shane Waldron goes a lot of the time. But, you know, Gerald Everett is there. He ain't here to block. He ain't come to play school. But he's going to catch 40, 50 balls. He's going to give you 400, 500 yards. And again, yeah, he's a good move tight end, sure-handed. This is a safety blanket offense right now.
It very much is.
In Keenan Allen, and a guy who is just one of the most sure-handed possession route receivers, best route runners, will always be exactly where someone who is maybe needs to learn to trust NFL timing and windows expects him to be. There's a running back who you can check it down to, and he can get a little wiggle out of it. And then, of course, there's DJ Moore. And Cole Kmet, Justin Fields sure liked to use him as a blankie.
Sure did. Gerald
it's
Everett
a safety
is just
blanket offense. There's a lot of options here.
I feel like Poles every year has signed a backup tight end because he has in an attempt to find the second tight end, just any fucking tight end who can catch the ball. And we thought last year, like, Robert Tonyan, that is a dude who can catch the ball. Like, we felt really good about that signing. Didn't work out. Praying for you, Gerald Everett. It seems like every tight end we sign who we think is going to be a good number two who can catch some passes can't. So God bless, buddy. I hope you actually catch the ball and don't just get cut after one season.
It's the curse of Desmond Clark. Ever since Mike Martz,
yeah, you're right,
ran him out of the building and refused to play him, the Bears have not had a quality two tight end set.
Good luck, Gerald.
Yeah, so, yeah, Gerald Everett's great thing. Kevin Byard. We didn't have time to talk about Kevin Byard last time,
though. Oh, we did. We missed Kevin Byard.
So, now, that's another one. When that one first came out, that they beat free agency to do it, and you kind of expected some of these safeties to not get that much money because the market was so flooded, but some of these safeties still got pretty paid. Green Bay handed the bag to Xavier McKinney. Now, I don't think that's a bad move by them. He's a guy like that usually doesn't get cut, and they pounce, and he's a great safety. But again, with the context of the market, and also the exact specifics of the Byard contract still haven't entirely come out, which a friend of mine who's very good at NFL contracts said, like, that's the longer those kind of things take to leak, usually the better news it is for the team. Because if it was a really strong deal with a lot of guarantees, the agents leaked that shit immediately.
Right.
But yeah, the Byard deal looks great in context. You know, we talked about Byard a little bit. I didn't know much about how he actually played this year. All I knew is that Eagles fans were kind of big, giant babies whining that after he got there, their defense went to shit, and so he must have been terrible. So it was my surprise when I went and looked, and he was still a top 20 safety this year, per PFF. His numbers in Philadelphia were fine. I think everything that happened to collapse on the Eagles front had a lot more to do with shadow firing Sean Desai and handing over play calling to Matt Patricia, the dumbest man alive. But it's very Eagles fans to just blame the new guy, because Eagles fans are spoiled toddlers.
Never trust an Eagles fan. I think, honestly, for anything related to football.
Well, and I think we as fans sometimes don't look at this as hard as NFL teams do. Right. But, you know, in coach speak, Travis, what's the best ability? Do you remember? The best ability is availability. Kevin Byard doesn't miss games.
That's true.
He has played every snap. And we love Eddie Jackson, but what did our boy Eddie love to do? he likes to miss a lot of games. He
loved to come back and get hurt.
A lot, yes. And this, I mean, Jalen Johnson has struggled a bit with that. I think, gotten tired of having half their secondary on the trainer table. And so in Kevin Byard, you have a veteran leader and what's still a very young secondary. Mm-hmm. And you have a dude who throughout his career has stayed very healthy, has played every snap. And I think they really valued having a captain back there who can communicate. And first of all, most importantly, he is still a solid player. He's obviously not what he used to be. He's not an all-pro anymore. But he's solid. He's still better than Eddie was last year. And he stays healthy or has stayed healthy in his career. I think they really valued that. So yeah, the Byard, and again, in the context of the market, that Byard deal just keeps looking better and better too.
Yeah, so right here, we're filling holes. Yeah, we talked about safety a lot last week. We talked about how they're just a bunch of options. We prescribed that the Bears wait and just take whichever guy didn't get the bag. We instead took the first guy. He's definitely a guy that you want. Like, I like Byard. I know you like Byard. So, yeah, the only bad thing you'd heard is that he ruined the Eagles after that trade, and it just turns out the defense mysteriously collapsed all in on itself. The safety was not their problem. That's why they traded for a safety, to be clear. But yeah, so the Bears are fixing holes. They would then patch another hole, which we talked about a lot last week. We talked about Bates, and we talked about, is this the move on the offensive line? Are they going to do anything else? Are they going to bring in anybody else on the interior? And we did. We brought in one more dude.
Yeah, so, I mean, this has to be the first time in years that I have felt like, okay, it is March 16th as we record this. If the Bears offense had to line up and play tomorrow, I would feel good about the weapons and the offensive line. Because, yeah. So they signed Colvin Shelton, but they also signed Matt Pryor. They also signed another guy recently. What is his name?
God, I had forgot about Pryor. We got an actual swing tackle.
Yes, I think, yes. Well, and a guard. He's got experience at guard, too. Yeah, Pryor has been, you know, and he, you know, he's a swing tackle, so he's had some years where he's been kind of crappy, and he's had some years where he was surprisingly good. That's about what you can ask for from a swing tackle, but he's quality. They were subtle moves, but they really upgraded the depth because,
yes.
You know, obviously, four of the five starting spots were set. Like, Nate Davis, they're not, with that contract, they're not giving up on that guy after a year. And honestly, I still don't think they need to.
No.
We talked about it where he, God, I say we talked about it a lot. That's like my word.
Well, my we phrase. Did.
But we did talk about it.
Kyle.
We did talk about it. We talked about it.
About Nate Davis a lot.
But Nate Davis, he had that stress. So he had whatever was going on with that family tragedy that kept him out of training camp. And it seemed like he was really rounding into form there. He had a three or four game stretch where he was really coming along strong. And him and Darnell Wright on the right side were looking really good together. And then he got hurt. And he wasn't quite the same when he came back from that injury. So I'm hoping if he can get in a full offseason, if he can be healthy, Nate can still be a quality right guard. Tevin obviously was a top 10 guard in the NFL this year by production. With Tevin, as always, the only question remaining is, you know, healthy. And Tev, buddy, did you look around at what some guards got paid this year?
Oh, my God. We talked about it.
Stay healthy. We did talk about it. Stay healthy, big dog. Like, good God, man. Look at the generational bag that is waiting for you in this market if you can stay healthy this year.
His contract negotiations are going to be so fucking weird. You cannot put a figure on.
I know. What do you pay for eight games a year of outstanding production? Like, it's going to be a wild thing. But yeah. Tev, buddy, if this is the year that you can play 15, 16 games and produce like you have, you will get life-changing generational money if you do.
Ryan Poles is going to slide that contract across that the table and just start weeping. Like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, man, I mean, if you do this, you can bend them over, buddy. Come on. Stay healthy. Do your stretches. Start now.
If he keeps improving, there's a chance that this year he plays like 12 games, but in those 12 games, he's just literally the best guard in the
NFL. He's going to be fucking Jari Evans, I mean... So come on, dude. It's there. So yeah, I mean, and obviously you and I are big Braxton Jones supporters. We already shouted down people who even think about taking a tackle at 9. But yeah, we believe Braxton, left tackle, Darnell Wright is our Lord and Savior. We love Darnell. Maybe my current favorite Bear already. I love Darnell Wright that much.
We're pretty biased.
The first time I watched that kid's tape at Tennessee, I was like, oh, Bear. Give me this one. So I mean, there's four of the five spots were set. We did want them to finally sign a legit center now, and they added Coleman Shelton, who was the starting center for the Rams this year, was a starting guard for them most of 2022 and was pretty good there. Most people, I think, just kind of assumed that Shelton immediately then slots into the starting center position. From what it sounds like to me, they are actually still going to give Ryan Bates first crack at the center job. I think Ryan Poles tried to sign Ryan Bates a couple years ago. And Ryan Bates is still only 27. He really thinks Ryan Bates has some serious athletic upside. I think he sees his potential center of the future there in Ryan Bates. And I think that's fine, but I'm glad. And I think we sort of said this last week. I just wanted him to hedge his bet. That's all.
Yeah.
Like if Ryan Bates is your plan A at center, that's fine. I'm willing to see how that plays out. But he can't be plan A, plan B, and plan C. You have to bake in for the option that you might be wrong about this guy, and they did. Coleman Shelton, you know, because Coleman Shelton, I think, kind of is what he is. He's played enough that like. He's probably an average center. That's about where he tops out. And that's okay. That's your backup plan now. But if they want to see what they've got in Ryan Bates as a center first, I'm okay with that. It'll be a true camp competition. And if Ryan Bates wins it, that's going to be something I'm really excited about now, because you know he beat out legitimate... He didn't beat out Ja'Tyre Carter. He beat out an actual NFL starting center for the job, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I looked at this and I immediately just saw what we did last year, except for we have two much better guys this year. Instead of having two guys who are just pure hot ass on a 100-degree day, we've got two guys who seem like NFL caliber, at the very least average starting centers, right? I think what they're going to do is they're going to have one of them starting at center. I'm expecting Bates. Like you said, I think that's who they're expecting is Bates. And I think the first time there's an injury from one of our guards, and there will be, it might be the first game of the season. I think what we're going to see is exactly what they did last year. Like, whoop, all right, our center is also our best backup guard. So now Bates is moving over to take over for the injured guard. Now we're bringing in Shelton as our starting center. And this year, unlike last year, I would be much more comfortable with that. Because I would agree. I would say that Bates would be our best backup guard. Shelton is an average NFL center, and I'm fine with that. Whereas last year, the plan was to move Whitehair back to guard immediately. That was a terrible NFL guard. And that spoke volumes about Ja'Tyre Carter, and it weakened our entire line, and it set us up for that horrible start to the season. Yeah, I think doing the same thing here, much better and much more confident in it.
Yeah, I think Ryan Bates is who they... Or not Ryan Bates. I think Coleman Shelton is who they hoped Lucas Patrick could be. Because I don't think they ever thought Lucas Patrick was a secret superstar. I think they hoped that Lucas Patrick could be a replacement-level center.
Yeah.
And they were very wrong about that. I did the last... Unless you have some special PFF access that I don't, you can't really see career or multi-year grades. So what I always do is I take the grade in a given year times the number of snaps, add all that up, divide by total snaps, blah, 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 to figure out like what a multi-year grade would be.
Sure.
And over the last 2 years, basically, in basically every category, Coleman Shelton has graded out as like a 62 overall.
Just perfectly cromulent.
Perfectly cromulent center. Lucas Patrick in those last 2 years as a Bear has graded out basically as a 51 overall. Which
not
is
cromulent.
Very shitty. So, again, the Nate Tice theory of going from shit to not shit really applies here.
I mean, we like to hammer that point home like every 2 months on the cast, I feel like. But man, that leap from absolute garbage to merely okay is just as big as going from merely okay to really good. And that it feels like that's what we've done here on the interior offensive line. And it feels like I don't remember going into any Bears season feeling this confident in an offensive line from top to bottom. I don't remember, for that season to be the season where we are likely going to have the best quarterback prospect we've ever had in Chicago, that's really refreshing to see the Bears taking offensive line seriously, literally at the exact moment they need to be taking it the most seriously. So who do we got left? Did the Bears do anything else, Kyle?
What's that?
Did the Bears do anything else?
A couple other depth moves. They added a safety who is apparently married to the famous gymnast. Oh, Elise would be so mad at me.
Which one? The one with the funny face?
I ain't going there.
The one who made the funny face, Michaela Maroney.
She made no, but she was face. On the same. She was on the same team as that one. Simone Biles.
Iowan? Oh, Simone.
No,
Biles.
Simone Biles. Jonathan. Okay. Jonathan Owens, is that his name? He was with the Packers last year. Okay. He's right. Married to Simone Biles. He's now a Bear. I will not pretend to have opinions on backup safeties, but Robert Schmitz is a friend of mine and does the tape and everything, and is the editor of DBB, or DeBear's blog. He says that he's a better backup safety than Elijah Hicks. So, yay! Backup center.
All right.
Secured. They also added another tackle. It was a nothing signing. I don't even know if the guy will make the roster, but it was someone who's been with Waldron before, so
God, that's refreshing. Oh. We have so many offensive linemen, like, that we're gonna cut some. We're gonna cut some of these shitty linemen.
And I think they'll still, I mean, depending on how many picks they end up with, I think they'll still take like a mid-round center prospect potentially. And then they added Brett Rippon. That's our new backup quarterback in case
QB one here. Sure.
Why would we need a new backup quarterback? I don't know. it's a mystery.
Why would we need a non-threatening backup?
Oh, it's crazy. Why would we need a veteran backup? I don't know. Yeah, because you just think if it was Justin Fields, they'd
never
just
take over. You know who the fan base would never clamor for?
If it was Justin Fields, don't you think we'd just stick with the Bajent of Change as his backup? You would think, but it's a mystery. Yeah.
Surprising stuff.
God, I'm going to do this until the draft, I think. It's a mystery.
So that's about it. That's about it. Just a bunch
that's
of
the Bears moves.
That's it for free agency.
For Bears free agency, yeah. Do we want to move into, do we want to talk about some other free agent moves? Should we shoot the shit, Travis? What are some moves that were kind of eye-opening to? First of all, what is the Raiders' plan at quarterback? What are they doing here?
Are we actually going to move on without talking about Keenan Allen? I was being a joker.
Oh my God, I forgot about Keenan Allen.
I was fucking kidding. I was doing a bit and I forgot, and you were like, let's talk about the Raiders. Let's talk about fucking Las Vegas.
Oh shit, I forgot about Keenan Allen. Okay.
We made a small trade. We gave up a fucking fourth round pick for a dude who had 1,200 yards receiving last year, who's been all pro, a dude who's like a perennial pro bowler, one of our favorite wide receivers in the league. So that's pretty cool. How do you feel about that, Kyle?
So a couple things. I think we all really want Roma Dunza or Malik Nabers if we can get them. And I'll say right now, I do believe that if one of them is there at 9, I do still think the Bears will take them.
I agree.
But, Skip, I think the buzz for those guys is real. I think everyone wants one of them. And I think teams that are currently behind the Bears could move up ahead of the Bears simply to get one of those guys. I think Poles knows that he's given up enough draft capital so far. He really shouldn't. be in the move to move up himself for one of these guys. And I think he was just playing the odds that there's a good chance those guys are going to be gone by nine, in which case, what do you do for wide receiver two for Caleb Williams in his rookie year? Maybe Caleb Williams. Mystery. Yeah.
I've been a little concerned with you via text that none of these wide receivers will be there at nine over the last few weeks. And within the last couple days, I think the word has kind of been that there's no way. There's just no way. The NFL likes them way too much, and it does seem like they're not going to be there. I don't know if that was the impetus for this trade, but it sure seems like it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think... I think it just... I think Poles got himself pigeonholed last year, and he knew that. Because we talked about that going into the... We talked about that.
We should
rename the podcast. We talked about that. Travis and Kyle, they talked about that.
We did talk about that.
No, he went into the draft last year pigeonholed. It was so obvious that they had no other option at 10 or 9 at the time. They traded down to 10. But like we literally said they have put themselves in a position where even if Jalen Carter falls, you kind of still need to take a tackle.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened. Jalen Carter fell, and they had put themselves into a position where they still needed to take Darnell Wright. So you can't do that again this year. You can't be sitting there at nine going, we really need wide receiver two, and get screwed if those guys are all gone by nine, and then say the best person on the board then at nine is an edge rusher, and you can't take him because you've got to trade down so that you can take Brian Thomas, you know?
Correct.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to be stuck in that position. And so I think they're in a good spot now where no matter what happens, I think if one of those wide receivers is the best player on their board, they will take them. I don't think they're going to let a 32-year-old Keenan Allen stop them. And I really do believe that building around Caleb Williams, is the plan, like what the goal is here. And I think they will prioritize that. But... one thing we were saying, I'm not going to say we talked about this, one thing we were saying to each other...
Which is different. It's totally different.
Which is different. And I've noticed I say we talked about this, I can't stop saying it.
You're going to be like waking up in a cold sweat.
We talked about that? Yeah. Can we talk about that? Did you get that thing I sent you? Anyways. No.
You can't stop. just moving forward with this podcast, everybody. Assume we've already talked about everything.
We have talked it. The sum of our discussions is vast.
There is nothing new under the sun. We have talked about it before. We don't have to tell you.
Oh, son of a bitch. Okay. So we hope the Bears are not picking in the top 10 next year.
Yeah.
The thing is, the math tells you can find good wide receivers, especially in this draft, in the second, third round.
Right.
Next year, there will be a good receiver in the first round, or with that Panthers pick at third. You can find those guys. The hit rate on wide receivers in the second round isn't really any worse than the hit rate on wide receivers in the first round. But what history does tell you is that if you need an edge rusher, that shit falls off fast. You basically have to take one round one. You really have to take one top 15. And so I think Poles is also thinking, I might not be in a shot. If we're doing this right, I won't be in position to take one of the best two defensive ends in a draft for the next 3, 4, 5 years at least. If he's thinking about this correctly, I will be in a position to get a good wide receiver someday. And so he might be smart, as much as it feels like, as Bears fans, you want to just see this team finally prioritize offense for once. He might really be like, Latu, this is my best shot at it, guys. This is my best crack at it. I got to take this shot while I'm here. And I think I sort of understand that now. Now, if they had done that without adding Keenan Allen, I would have a brain hemorrhage because I would be like, figure out pass rusher later. What's most important is... the development of mystery quarterback. Who could it be? But now you have Keenan Allen on board. You have him in the building. So whatever happens, that quarterback's development should be good. It's in good hands. And if you take your edge, you just have a complete team here. And you can still go get a guy next year. Or, again, trade deadline next year. We know Poles loves his deadline deals. If there's a disgruntled wide receiver out there looking for a new home, and the Panthers are as bad as we expect them to be again, and the Bears are looking likely at holding pick 33.
Yeah, and
that's a pick you can offer up for a trade.
This was my number one point about this, I think, is that the disgruntled wide receiver is like a meme, because it happens every year, usually multiple times. There's a disgruntled wide receiver out there right now. T. Higgins is just hanging out, being disgruntled, asking for a trade. It never ends. There's never a shortage of great wide receivers who just want to get the hell out so they can actually get paid and get off the franchise tag, right? But with defensive end, it only really happens when there's this perfect storm like Washington created last year, where they have way too much cheap talent on their defensive line, and the whole damn thing falls apart because you can't pay all of them. And that's, I don't see anybody in the NFL doing that. Like, you know, we were talking about...
Well, or if you're Carolina and for some reason you don't keep Brian Burns. What the fuck?
I don't know. That is the first run organization in professional sports.
They turned down 3 first round picks from the Rams for Brian Burns to turn around, not extend him, and then to move him for the Giants and to not even get a single first for it.
Batshit crazy.
He's a top 10 NFL pass rusher, and he's 25 years old.
Yeah, a dude who should never be available for anything.
No!
They had a chance to include him instead of DJ Moore.
Yes!
On the trade with the Bears, and they said no. And then they had a chance to get multiple first-round picks for him, and they said no.
The 30 for 30 after the NFL eventually forces David Tepper to sell the Panthers is going to be wild. Just fucking wild.
The most incompetent
ownership. Do not know how you biff that badly. 25-year-old edge rusher. Anyways, sorry, but yes, you're right. Those guys shouldn't be available very often.
It's extremely rare. You can't bank on it, certainly.
So, again, I was not going to be okay with it in a world where we did not have Keenan Allen. Because to me, if you have glaring holes at wide receiver and you have glaring holes at defensive end and you are trying to develop a young quarterback, you fill the wide receiver spot first and you hope and pray you can find edge later. Because your number one goal as an organization is not to win games in 2024. It is to make sure you don't fuck it up this time.
Yep.
But they did that. They got Keenan Allen. And so now, I mean, if you really think about best, smartest, most statistically likely places to land guys, I think that maybe is where you take your shot at an edge. It really is. Now, I don't know if it'll be Dallas Turner. I think the Atlanta Falcons are making hard eyes. I think that's why they went out and got Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore. I think they're also looking, but, you know, Leiatu Latu is going to be there probably. Jared Verse. That might be, you know, that just might be where you make your move.
Yeah, we're going to be getting to talk about defensive ends in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited
to talk
about them.
We'll do all that, and we will do all that in depth.
Yeah, kind of like what you said, you want to be in a position when you go into the draft to be more like what Arizona is this year, a team where you could really do anything with that pick.
Yeah.
Like, your team needs, in their case, it's because their team needs
a pick. Well, what I think they're doing with that pick is they are trading it to the Minnesota Vikings for a goddamn haul. So
the Vikings have certainly set themselves up to trade a couple of first-round picks for one first-round pick. That's for sure. And honestly, you know what, Bears? You know what, Bears? If McCarthy is there at 9 and the Vikings are dangling 2 first-round picks for that one, you fucking go for it. Give him J.J. McCarthy, please.
He won't be there at 9. He's going to... I think my biggest fear is that Washington really is as stupid as it sounds and is maybe going to take Jaden Daniels over Drake May. And then if New England is potentially actually willing to entertain trading down from 3, then you end up with the Minnesota Vikings, and I can't have that. So
I don't think... I don't think there's any way that. See, but then we're getting into a situation where four quarterbacks have gone off the board before nine. And then, like you've been talking about in recent weeks, are we really seeing four quarterbacks and three wide receivers before anything else comes off the board?
It would be pretty wild. It's going to be an interesting draft, that's for sure. It's going to be wild.
It's going to be a fun draft cast there for the top 10 picks.
Yes, and I invited a guest to join us for that draft cast.
It's going to be a party.
If you're a Bears fan and you follow the amusing gentleman known as Double Doink, or I guess he spells it Dual B Doink, DoulBeDoink, he's going to hop on and join us during our draft coverage. Because I wanted backup in case Travis gets sleepy, because he's a sleepy boy. He likes to put on his soft cap and sleep like a bear. Like a cartoon bear.
Yes. Due to various reasons.
Stamina is not his highlight anymore.
Right. If it gets too late, things get pretty spotty.
So. Yeah. So I wanted backup there. I wanted another voice in the room because no one wants to listen to 3 hours of just me talking about draft picks. Or maybe you do. In which
case, the throat ends up hurting is what happens. Yeah, you know, I'd be worried about you. You'd be going on the IR.
And then we couldn't talk about this. So,
and then we would have stuff we hadn't talked about before.
I wouldn't be able to say that we've talked about this. Cause
that's not what we do here. We don't talk about new stuff.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I think that's it for now.
I mean, we just to put it in a bow, man, we have maybe the best Bears offensive line that we've had in multiple decades.
I wouldn't say it's necessarily better than 2018 or 2013 yet, but it is the best I have felt about a Bears offensive line in March for a good long time.
We've got a legitimate number one wide receiver, and we have an overqualified number two wide receiver now, I would say, without a doubt. A guy who had maybe the best year of his career last year, who has been to the Pro Bowl multiple times. We've got as our third, maybe our
also,
number
like,
three.
How cool
receiver?
Is it that it's Keenan Allen specifically? I fucking love
such
Keenan
a,
Allen.
Such
we
a
love
great
Keenan guy. Allen.
We are huge Keenan Allen fans.
Oh man, he's like a top 10 cool wide receiver in my opinion. I love him so much.
And
just
to see
kind
him
of
freed of Greg Roman, isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic, Kyle?
It
like,
is.
He doesn't
I'm so
have
excited
to suffer
about...
at his hands.
Oh, speaking of wide receivers, Dante Pettis is back. You didn't give Dante any love.
I actually, you know what? I'm kind of positive on this because given the struggles everyone had with simply catching.
Oh, yeah, no, that's.
Get in
yeah.
here, Dante. Catch yeah. the goddamn ball on a kick.
Well, and honestly,
get in, get
like,
out.
Honestly, like, as far as wide receiver fives go, like, Dante Pettis is a guy who can actually run some routes and occasionally.
I don't think on this team you're ever going to see a fifth wide receiver.
I doubt it. But at the same time, like, you guys have to understand, wide receiver five in the NFL is generally not a super talented position to begin with. You only have such horrible memories of Dante Pettis because he was a wide receiver five who was forced to take wide receiver two snaps.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Very few. There are a lot of guys who would have looked as bad as you remember Dante Pettis in that situation. But as a punt returner, absolutely bring Dante back. Let's do it.
Yeah. At this point, our number three pass catcher is Cole Kmet, who was a top seven tight end last year. Very good at his job. Our number four pass catching guy is probably DeAndre Swift, a great pass catching running back. We have such a nice situation. For question mark spooky ghost quarterback, who could it be?
Who could it be?
It's
a mystery.
It is such a delightful thing to look at the Bears going into this draft and knowing that we're going to be able to put the number one pick in the draft, a potentially generational quarterback prospect, in the hands of like a weirdly competent offense, like a weirdly good team surrounding him. It's very exciting, and I hope that next week, when we do talk about these final few quarterbacks, we can start off by saying, side note, Justin Fields has been traded, and we can really just fully accept that Caleb Williams is the starting quarterback of the Bears next year.
Absolutely. All right, well...
you got anything else? Oh, I was going to do some house cleaning. We should do this at the end of everything. You know what I forgot, Kyle?
What'd you forget?
We have an email address, and
we do?
We like for people to send that. We've had it for years. StartKyleOrton@gmail.com. I'm going to throw it up finally.
Do you still have the login for that?
Yeah, I do. I got right
Oh, shit, man. I've been using that email address as, like, the throwaway email that I give to spam email places.
I don't. There's years. Not a lot of spam email in there, but yes.
Okay, yeah. Wow. I'm so embarrassed. I didn't know you knew how to get in there. Shit, okay.
Questions, concerns, business interests, anything you want to send there, folks, startkyleorton@gmail.com if you want to.
Well, to be clear, any of the porno links have just been, like, that's spam. I think we can agree there. I believe they call that phishing. And it's
that had nothing to do
problem.
With you? Because there's identity, some interesting stuff.
Identity in theft is no joke, my friend. Oh, identity okay. theft is no joke. It's no
you don't want
matter.
Me. You don't want me to.
We've talked
any
about
of these?
This, so. Okay. Well, I mean, don't. Let me look through them first. Just make sure okay. there's nothing I want to keep in there. Okay. So okay. yeah. All right. Well, that was productive conversation. Productive free agency so far. I would still like to see them add an edge of a kind of a sort, so that they're not pigeonholed into Edge either, even though I think that's where they're leaning. But yeah, no, otherwise go Bears.
Yeah, I fantastic offseason so far. It's only gonna get better, Kyle.
Is it? Oh no.
Now you know I'm leaving Chicago, and people I sure do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.